Hello there. This episode is sponsored by air. Breathe it in. It's free. If you like what you hear, please like, subscribe, tell your friends. And without further ado, here's the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Padawan Unlimited podcast. I am here live at Mythicos Studios. Is that the official name?
Yep.
Here in New Jersey. And today I am actually joined by two hosts from different episodes, but now combined into to our threesome over here. Sorry, it's a bad joke. Corey and Rob, how you guys doing?
Ahoy.
Hey, how's it going? 2 weeks in a row, Gil, got me.
I mean, that's the plan. I want to have you guys for the rest of my life. Or at least at least until the swoo ends.
Fair enough.
So we're unofficial life partners.
Yeah. On location here too.
Yeah.
I know. This is actually a really great spot. I never knew this existed until literally
Swoo.
Yeah, until Swoo. And I guess Rob introduced the store to me.
Yeah, this has been my home store for a couple of years now. So it's a great little spot if you like miniature gaming or Swoo. We're definitely a spot for that.
Yeah. Cool. Corey, have you been here like a lot? Is this like your main store?
No, it's same as you. Like, I didn't really know this was here until Rob introduced it. Saying, hey, we do Swoo stuff here, and you want to come? And then board games and stuff. So,
yeah.
So actually, it was board gaming first, right?
We
had a board game group, and we had to move locations, and like, oh, emergency move. And Mythicos was nice enough to have us for that for a couple weeks until we found a place that was a little bit more location based, better for our group.
Oh. Yeah, if I had my way, we would have been out here every time, but a little bit too far for a lot of our board gaming members. So,
where do you guys go now? It's Monday. It's the Monday one, right?
Yeah, it's the Monday one. It's at the Wegmans
down the road.
Down the road.
Yeah,
but that's
cool because, like, honestly, you know, you go in there, you'll always have food, you can always have drink,
exactly,
and then you can do groceries afterwards.
Well, it's a great spot, actually. A lot of light and a lot of tables. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and we still do a bi-weekly Sunday meetup here. So speaking of lots of table space, this place has a ton of it. So.
Oh, okay. Which, by the way, we're not sponsored by Wegmans.
Or
Mythicos, but they've been kind enough to lend us the space. I thought this was a good opportunity to talk about Swoo.
It's Swoo night, too, right? That's why we're here.
Yeah, so by the way, if you're in Northern Jersey, because I know some of you guys out there are actually in New Jersey, every Wednesday they host Constructed and or Draft. Join the Discord, and they'll get it. They'll get you set up. It's a bunch of cool people here. So,
yep. And you get to listen to my dulcet tones even more because I run the events. So.
yeah.
There it is.
So today, I think we wanted to talk about kind of sideboarding and like the art of sideboarding. The new set has been out for 3 weeks, four weeks.
Yeah, I think about 4 weeks.
Almost 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So people have created new decks. They are trying some new stuff.
There's some big tournaments that have happened recently.
Yeah. Big tournaments. A lot of Django Tarkin towns.
all the Django.
Yeah.
All the Django. And so I wanted to talk about just like, I guess maybe before we get to sideboarding, because that's like the secondary part, but like still important. Have you guys, you've built your own decks, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, definitely use a shell. I'm not the smartest. I mean, we talked about deck building before.
Yeah, a couple episodes ago.
Use a template, per se.
Yeah, I will build a deck from scratch, but I don't need to snowflake it, you know.
Like, you've got to be the unique guy.
Play something very unique.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I my deck has to be completely built by me. Like,
no.
that is not something that
I got
I'm,
you.
Find a shell.
Yeah.
Find a shell that you like, and then cater to what you do best.
Yeah, your style.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, the best example I have of this is, so last set, both Corey and I actually were playing Kylo Yellow, the space version of that. And that was a good shell to kind of work off of. Now, with the advent of the Jango Tarkintown deck, that utilized a lot of the shell from Kylo Yellow. So when that deck dropped and I started to play around with it, I was like, oh, this makes sense. I've been playing this deck in just a different version. This is in some ways a better version, a better leader. Not better, a different leader, more active leader. I know how I'm going to, approach this deck.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. How about you, Corey? Do you have the same sentiment with, like, Django or, like, deck building?
Yeah, like I said, find a template. I'm not one to just be like, oh, let's throw all these things together. I want to find synergies, and like I like to see what people are doing to figure out what their approach to it is, and then see how I can make it my own, so that way it works for my play style. Because I'm not going to just take the deck and then it's like, how am I supposed to play this? Doesn't make any sense. I know people are winning with it, but that doesn't mean I'm going to win with it.
True.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Is find, like, you need to understand how the deck works, but you should also find find a mechanism that works for you, right? Like, understand how it's going to work for you and how you're going to play it. Because, one, that's how you make the deck your own. But, B, there are certain tendencies that you as a player are going to have. Things that you like to see happen, mechanics that just tickle your brain the right way. Yeah, but I mean, it sounds silly, but it's true.
No, it's for sure.
So, like, you know, you're going to have tendencies to want to do that. So you're going to want to, you know, make the deck, even if the shell is generally the same. You're going to want to make the deck and tailor it to yourself, to the way that you play. The best example I got of this is I used to play a lot of, I still do play a lot of miniature games, and a lot of times what you're looking for is sort of like, number one, it's like the best in slot. You know, unit or a series of units or ones that have interesting synergies. And then once you've found that synergy, you start to build around that. And I was going to kind of point to that because, Gil, you've done that with what you're toying around with right now with the Rex Green. Now, I know you're saying it's kind of a jank deck, but you found an interaction that you really like. You like both Ayla Secura coming in after Rex flips because it's basically a guaranteed coordinate. So when you ECL her, she basically removes something from the board and takes nothing in return. Or conversely, and in kind of the same shell of that, it's the Ryken ECL turn, right? Where he comes out and drops as like a 6/8 after you make him a sentinel.
It's pretty ridiculous. It's a great combo.
Yeah. So like those were two interactions that you looked at and you're like, I like the way that these work. And you started to build a deck around how that worked, and then you started to support it. And I think in terms of deck building, that's something that you always kind of, it's a good way to start. It's like, I like the way that this interaction functions, and then I'm going to find ways to support it. I think the one thing that you have to be careful about when you're building a deck, and we'll talk about it when we're talking about sideboarding, is you can't lose focus. Like, what is the purpose of your deck?
Yeah.
What is, you know, if I'm a mid-range deck, I can't start to go like, well, I'm going to throw in a little bit of control because, you know, what about this and what about that? If you start to lose focus on your deck, then then your deck just becomes watered down. You're not as, your draws won't be as efficient. You won't be getting the things that you need when you need them.
It doesn't have an identity.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Without that identity, then like you're now trying to do control on this turn, but then you're doing aggro on this turn, and now your opponent has all these opportunities to counter and take advantage of your, you know, confusion, so to speak, within the deck.
Yeah, I like that word, identity. What is the identity of what you're trying to do, right? Corey, are you like, when you build a deck or when you're trying to modify certain decks like the Kylo deck, do you focus more on best in slot, like, or do you focus on the synergies, or you always try to find that right balance between the two, just like Rob was talking about?
I think best in slot's a good way to put, like, how's like this turn or this resource turn going to work? What do I want to see in those spots in these turns? And then what does it look like for my leader? Because again, like the Kylo deck and the Jango deck are running very similar things, but their leaders are doing something completely different. So Kylo kind of can flip to the ground a little bit more, because he has a lot more ground units, I think, whereas the Jango deck is really just trying to win in space and just overwhelm you in space. And so I'm looking to try to figure out how it synergizes with the leader as much as possible.
You also made like the Palp deck. I think right now the current iteration is Palp Yellow, and that's also been pretty good from when I played against it. Is that the same approach you took with that one?
I played Palp Yellow set one, and so I took a lot of stuff from that, like my set one deck that I liked a lot. Like, it's so fun just to steal people's stuff. It's like, just take your things, all your stuff is mine.
I mean, it's true.
That
it's
hurts.
True.
That happened to me in a PQ.
Yeah.
One of the PQ, Red Seal Gaming, also in New Jersey. I don't want to say South New Jersey, Central.
Yeah,
South Jersey.
Mattawan, I think.
Yeah, Mattawan. I was playing, my first match was up against a Palp double green.
Yeah.
And they took my Luke. They choose sides to me. I was like, I hate this game.
Yeah. It's, so, it's like what Rob said, though. Like, you find things that you like, right? The things that make you happy in these games, and then you try to build around that. But then I saw that it was doing well in some of the tournaments recently. I was like, oh, let's see what they're doing and what kind of new stuff we're putting in, like what kind of new like twists and things like that, and how these new cards can interact and things. So.
Yeah, it's always about finding that like little wrinkle, right? Like for me, you know, the shells of the decks are going to be, you know, 80-90% similar, but it's that last, you know, 10-20% that you tweak that makes it your own. But finding that little wrinkle that, you know, if people are just straight neck decking and being like, okay, well, I know this, and this are in this deck. And you don't have that because you've tweaked it for your play style and some sort of opportunity that you see within either the meta or your local or the national meta, then that's going to be to your advantage because it's not going to be the same thing that everyone's running. And people, while they, you know, when they're kind of playing at, I don't know if you guys know the it's like the poker theory, right? Level two, playing a level two where they're trying to anticipate what you're going to do.
Oh, yeah, the anticipation doesn't work.
Yeah. And if they're anticipating wrongly, that's to your advantage.
True.
Right. If everyone's playing the same deck, you kind of know what to expect.
Yeah, the lines.
Right. Exactly.
Whatever.
So yeah, you kind of got to throw those wrinkles in there every once in a while.
Yep.
That happened to me last night. We were playing at Bearded Dragon, another game. So also for everyone listening, just to be clear, like I think between the three of us, we go to like 7 or 8 different stores in New Jersey at any given time. So we're at Bearded Dragon in Bernardsville, New Jersey, and I played 2 Anakin Blues. And one of them was...
Only 2?
Yeah, only 2. I had, it was like 4 of them last night. One of them was like the typical one. I was like, oh, I got this. But the first one I played was like a Ray Red hand destruction kind of control. I was like, oh, I got it. I was like, dang.
Yeah, if you don't know what the matchups are, it can really screw you.
Yeah,
especially if you are anticipating a specific thing and then you like, don't see it.
Tripped me up because I was, you know, I have certain lines I want to run and then all of a sudden, oh, you're paralyzing me every single freaking turn. And it's just really annoying. Yeah.
I'll say New Jersey's got a lot of good stores for SWU. Like we're pretty fortunate.
We've been lucky. Red Seal is great in South Jersey. Bearded Dragon and Mythicos have been great up here as well.
Shout out Highlander.
Shout out Highlander.
And also WU goes to Highlander, which is pretty cool. There's a level of super competitive play that you have to, you know, go up against someone who like wins major tournaments. So that's always really nice. I mean, even locally, I think New Jersey, we have a lot of top 8s, top 16
PQs,
bunch of them that are out there. I mean, I'm still chasing that dragon. I'm not one championship.
Well, same here. This is the more casual.
Yeah, this is the casual group.
We're the casual tryhards, baby.
Casual tryhards. You know, I actually made that the title of the last podcast episode. maybe I'll add that to this one as well. Okay, so, you know, you create that deck, right? You net deck it, maybe you make it a snowflake like me with my Rex deck. But
effects
then
and effects, baby.
You got Obi. Like Obi seems to be like
my Obi has been good. I've started to tweak all those decks to address certain weaknesses. But speaking of weaknesses, that's what the sideboard. One of the reasons the sideboard is.
Yep, that's right. Yes. There's your wrinkles.
Yeah.
There's one thing I do want to say about sideboarding in general, though, just to kind of start off, and that is that, so when you're making a deck, a lot of times you're going to add cards into your deck, and you're going to be above that like 50 card threshold, and then you're going to want to cut down, right?
Yeah.
The cards that you cut out, you probably should not put in your sideboard. It's kind of like the analogy I make is like if you're a musician and you've ever recorded for an album, you record 20 songs, but only 10 make it to the album. Well, you don't make another album out of those other 10 because they didn't make a cut for a reason.
That's a good point.
So there may be cards that you take out. So like, for example, like maybe you have a couple Space Sentinels in there. You're like, well, I don't need this in my main deck because I'm not going to see this in every matchup. So you'll put those in the sideboard. That's like an okay sub out. But if you're like, man, I really want, you know, Sabine, and I want
Bo-Katan,
and I want another
Mandalorian.
So he's just run out two drops, right? You know, so like I want all these two drops, and I cut out these other two drops. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't put those other two drops into your sideboard because
Well, it's identity,
because,
right?
Yeah, because it's identity. You cut them for a reason. They didn't.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing that these other cards are doing. So,
but one of them is better, and that's why it's in the main deck.
Right,
right, right. How about you, Corey? Do you use the same thing? Like, you might go to like 60 cards, 78 cards, and you start cutting.
Definitely trying to like how, like, I want all these cards in my deck. How am I going to fit them in, and what makes the most sense for this deck? Again, the identity of the deck.
Yeah.
And then, similar to Rob's, like, that doesn't make sense to have this in the sideboard because it's doing similar things to what this other card is doing in this turn or whatever. I don't need to see this, you know, later on. Because it's not going to work in that, you know, turn 7 or whatever. I want to see this at turn 5.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no point in putting it. I think your sideboard is there to shore up matchups that you're not comfortable with your main deck.
Yes.
Like your 50 cards, you want to have that. Like, how can I be the best I can be at in most matchups? And then these are my tough ones. I need to be able to sideboard stuff in for those matchups specifically because I know I'm going to be at a disadvantage unless I put something else in.
Yeah. Right, right.
Like, a good example of this that I've seen is because of the prevalence of Django Tarkintown, I've seen it happening against me specifically, or against the deck that I've been playing, is that you will see opponents, like, I will win match one more often than not right out the gate, because most decks...
Wow, what a flex.
I will win that first one, and then I'll lose the next two. And the reason is because there's a lot of... There are people who... basically, they have in their sideboard cards to address a Django Tarkintown matchup. And then so, and it amounts to, a lot of times, adding a bunch of Space Sentinels.
Mm.
And Django Tarkintown can sometimes struggle against that, because if you don't have, you know, stuff to, if you don't have the cards at the right time to take stuff off the board, to get rid of those Sentinels, steal the Sentinels, you know, just run them over, whatever it is, then it slows you down enough that your opponents can catch up on tempo. And that deck lives on a razor's edge.
Yeah.
Like, I often, when I win, you're winning by, like, you know, 5 health or less. It's not, it's never, man, I've got 20 health and my opponent didn't do anything to me.
I think with any deck that I create, I want the least amount of stress.
that is not the Django deck.
I think that's why I have so many Sentinels. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, try to run through this. But I think that's fair. That's a fair assessment.
Yeah. But then, you know, as far as like sideboarding in general is concerned, I think, you know, as Corey put it, I think you should always approach sideboarding as a way to shore up either weaknesses in your deck or specific matchups. So, you know, for a while, and still, I think Sabine will come back in. Like, Sabine was meta, right? So Sabine is the deck that if you run into her, she's going to have just a overwhelming ground presence. There's going to be an early space presence. Like, how do you deal with that? So some of the answers were in set 2. You put Black Sun Starfighter into your sideboard so that maybe you don't take it turn in the first game, but in the second game you drop those in, and then you can drop that on turn 2, and that just puts the absolute brakes on Sabine's space attack for a lot of it. You know, so you know, those are things that where you look at, okay, that's a specific matchup that I can tech against effectively.
Yeah.
You know, other things that you can do are, you know, like if you're not worried about a specific deck, you're worried about archetypes, right? Like, I'm worried about a control matchup. When I go into a control matchup, what am I going to do? What am I going to do when Palp, you know, if Palp's going to steal a bunch of my stuff? Should I, you know, throw in a bunch of, again, I'm going to use Django Tarkintown as the example, but should I throw in a bunch of sneak attacks because it means that my units don't stay on the board, so he doesn't have anything to steal? You know, so, and then my Ruthless Raiders are guaranteed to just blow up and do, you know, 2 damage to the base and 2 damage to something.
Yeah.
You know, those types of wrinkles, right?
Yeah. So, Corey, when you sideboard, when you're developing that or you're putting it in, do you also focus on specific matchups, or you just shore up like what you're good at? You know what I mean? Like, you know, how is your approach kind of similar, or do you have like a different one?
Yeah, I'd say it's similar, of course, because you want to build the best deck for as many matchups as possible, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're not going to build a deck that's going to have somewhat of an advantage to most decks that are getting played, then why are you playing it? Because,
I mean, yeah.
If you want to be competitive, if you want to just have fun, sure. But if you want to be competitive, you need a deck that's going to have decent matchups against most of the meta. And there are going to be matchups, like it's rock, paper, scissors meta, right? So you have Control's going to do bad against aggro. Aggro's going to do bad against mid-range. Mid-range is, you know, it's going to be Control. So, or it's going to do bad against Control. So you got to have... you have to sometimes decide, if I'm going to play a Control deck, I know I'm going to have a bad matchup against aggro. So how am I going to shore up that matchup or give myself a chance in that matchup?
Sentinels, baby. Sentinels.
Sentinels or healing, whatever it may be. Just something to slow them down. Because, again, if you're going Control, you want to get to that late game. Your late game is going to be much better than their late game. And so you're just trying to survive at that point. And what can you do to survive? Otherwise...
I agree. You know, when I first started looking at sideboarding, because I don't know about you guys, I'm also new to card gaming, like completely. Mm-hmm. Since the first set, this was like when I got into card gaming, I would just be like, all right, I want a lot of options. So I would be like, one of this. And I realized how bad that actually is, because you're actually statistically not really helping your deck. You're actually probably making it worse because you're watering down
the quality of your cards, see these cards
and the synergies. I think what I've started to learn, or what I've started to do is, so we have the different archetypes, or at least broad strokes. I think for Swoo, the definition of archetypes is still kind of malleable. But I actually always try to have 3 or 4 cards for each archetype that I then swap in, right? And I identify what those might be, right? So, my general shell is, how can I, when I create a deck, how can I kind of do okay against every deck? That's like my base thing, right? My basic concept. And you know me, I'm all about them Sentinels.
Yeah.
Then when I come to the sideboard, I'm like, okay, aggro, what do I need against specific aggros in this meta? All right, I probably maybe need a top target. Maybe I need more perilouses, right? Perilous pursuits, right? Perilous positions, not perilous pursuits. And then I'll have 3 or 4 against another mid-range. Like, what are they doing? Oh, they probably have big drops, so let me swap in, choose sides, U-wing, like stuff like that, right? And then the last piece, like, Control. Okay, so how... do I do against Control? I mean, that's always the toughest part for, I guess, my style. And for me, like, the only answer I've ever been have to find consistently is just because I play a lot of heroism, it's just tech. Just give me access to my resource row.
Right.
But I don't know if that's like the appropriate approach. I don't know. Like, when you
that's
go
the thing, it varies depending on the deck too. Like, what leader you have, what colors, aspects you're running, that's going to change what you're sideboarding in because of the options you have. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be a varied. The variable difference there depends, but again, you want to see what fits you and how you are comfortable with what you're comfortable with. Like, with my Palp deck, I've been tweaking it here and there, and I put in the Lurking Ties in my sideboard because against some of the blue decks, like, because I'm going Control, if they're going hard Control, they're going to be trying to ping my stuff. They can't ping the Lurking Ties, right?
So you can't
tap it. You can't super laser blast it.
You can't super laser blast it.
Yeah, you literally have to base check it.
You know, I never thought about that.
Yeah, and it doesn't die.
Oh my god, you have to like burn, like.
You have to get those.
You can't even use Luke, right?
You can't use Luke. Any minus minus.
Any minus minus is like
make an opening.
Still like
that perilous.
Yeah.
Position, whatever.
Yeah, perilous position. Yeah,
that's
like
you want me to say.
Yeah,
position.
I know. Yeah. That's funny. I'm still learning about
Snokes
this game.
Snokes. Yeah, Snokes are rough.
Snokes. Oh, yeah, Snoke is also.
But those things where it's like that card specifically is great in a control match, because they can't, take down. They can't. Dark side.
You took out Brandon's blue Jango deck with your deck.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just hard control. Yeah. I was like, I couldn't. Because I played against with Obi, I was getting wrecked, and then you come in there and you start wiping him. So Rob, actually a question for you. So let's say you have a deck. Let's say your Django or your Django Tarkin Town, and then you're going up against what's the hardest matchup? Like hard control.
It's fairly aggro, so it's usually a
mid-range
deck. Yeah, like a wide mid-range. Actually, the Rex deck that you were playing
yesterday
is tough
for
because you go very wide.
Yeah, you can ping my clone and I'll still have like 3 others there. Yeah. So when you have to go up against a mid-range, like what's going through your brain when you're selecting your sideboard for that? Like, what are some cards actually you put in there? Now?
So I guess we can talk about it because I actually did make some changes to my deck.
Strategy for construction tonight.
based off of some of what I was seeing, because like my concern became like, all right, in a mirror, I know kind of what I want to do. In a control matchup, those are my favorite matchups. So I can so while I may need to worry about certain specific things, I may not need as much sideboard there to deal with it. But mid range is a problem, particularly wide mid range ground. Right, because I don't have a lot of stuff to deal with that.
Yeah, you're all in space.
I'm all in space.
Yeah.
You know, and I can ping down with like a P-38, or I can ping down with a Ruthless Raider. But like outside of that, I don't really have a lot of stuff to like
slow them down.
If they get if my opponent gets an advantage on the ground, I don't have answers.
I'm playing a lot of Karabass with Rex. It's so people have no idea what to do with him. They're like, what? someone today, they are playing some yellow green deck, and they took out Cad Bane to take three of my units, like my Sentinels. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh man, that sucks. Too bad I have a two sides here. And I took it right back.
Yeah.
Then I attacked or something with him, and he thought that the mechanic was that. Like,
he would get my
cards to be his, mm-hmm. but then he just released my Ayla, so I had like 15 damage on the board, like 15 just ready to attack. It was just the funniest thing. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. Sorry for interrupting. But
no, it's all good. So like for me, what I started to think about was, and I had talked to you a little bit about this, I had Heavy in my sideboard.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Previously.
Yeah.
I've moved him to my main deck.
Really? What did you take out?
I took out the Imperial Interceptor.
Because, oh, yeah.
So I had Imperial Interceptors in there because it's another direct damage space-based ship.
Yeah, it's 3 damage.
It's 3 damage, and it deals with Space Sentinels really well. Normally, you'll have to 2-1 for a Space Sentinel in the Django deck. But the Imperial Interceptor basically allows you to 1-for-1 against the majority of what you see, which is usually Bright Hope or Concord Dawn Interceptors, right? So it'll take an attack from a unit, but
it's not a low value trade,
right?
It's a one for one,
yeah. Which is acceptable, right? But what I was realizing was that. Oftentimes, I don't see those Sentinels in people's base decks early. They get sideboarded in. Hmm. So putting Heavy in, Heavy is a 4-4 who coordinates up to a 6-4 because he has Raid 2 coordinate. And then additionally, when he's taken out, he pings the ground, all the enemy ground, for 1, which, if you have Django flipped, means you tap their entire board.
It's dumb. Pretty good.
Yeah, it requires Django to be flipped. So, yeah. But Heavy drops on 4, so you can play him the turn before.
Yeah,
and then you can flip Django early, and then just throw Heavy into something, and yeah, they might get a attack in.
Yeah, you kind of stall the entire.
But you'll stall their entire board, and then it's also a potential 6 damage swing, which is really good because, you know, like one of the hard matchups that you'll run into, and I think it's probably about a 50-50, is Anakin Blue, right? The problem is like Anakin on when he flips on 6, and if somebody drops a Jedi lightsaber on him, he's a monster. He is really hard to take down. And if you don't have like a big swing to take him out, you have to rely on basically tapping him out and racing them down before Anakin can get to a point where he just destroys you.
Yeah. Someone did pseudo kind of do that to me. Well, they tricked me. Because they put their lightsaber on Kanan the round before. Mm. So I had to kill the Kanan, and then his Anakin came in. I was like, oh, this sucks.
so having like a big swing like that really kinda helps. The other thing that I've put in and I want to toy around with is the new Maul. Because he attacks 2 things, right? So you're probably gonna lose him in return, but
he can tap 2 things.
He can tap 2 things.
Yeah.
And he's also swinging for 5 each, which is not an insignificant swing. Yeah. So
if he's not killing it or defeating it. It's going to be.
Tap it. But you can tap, you can tap it, and then you can also throw break. Like so, if they throw up a sentinel, right? You can throw breaking in on him. Suddenly he's swinging for 7. Doesn't care about the sentinel and swings at 2 things behind the sentinel for 7 each.
Oh, interesting combo. So, I'm excited to see if that works out.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's going to work, but it's something I started to think about last night, and I want to test out.
It could be a good thing in the Django deck for sure. Like I tried him in Kylo, and I don't like him in Kylo just because he's too small. I don't care about hitting units with him, right? So I would rather have like the bigger stuff. Like Kylo himself.
Wouldn't it be crazy if he gets two attacks on the base? They'd be broken. They'd be cracked.
But having Maul to like clear out like it sounds silly, but having Maul to clear out chaff, right? Mm-hmm. To Rex throws out a bunch of clone troopers, and they're all, you know, it's two damage. But that two damage adds up. But you can throw Maul into basically four clone troopers to clear out four clone troopers with his attack.
Right. If he gets to attack twice. Yeah.
Yeah. Or at the very least,
he's a 5-6.
He's a 5-6. Yeah, so yeah,
he'll survive. Yeah. Don't try to tech too much against my Rex. You don't know if he's gonna come back next week.
It's not just specifically against.
I totally understand. Like,
no, it makes sense because it's like kind of what you're doing with heavy as well, right? You're trying to hit more than one unit. You're trying to be advantageous with the unit that you're using one swing to get two things out or multiple things.
Exactly. Yes. So it's another big swing. Even if it is just to a single unit, it's still a 5 damage unit that with the sneak attacks and breaking in can spike up to 7. He comes out on 5.
Yeah.
So it can spike up to 7 or 8, which is usually enough to take out like most mid-range targets, right?
Yep.
So like
or leaders, right?
And so like that's what I'm worried about with Django, right? It's like cuz like again, talking about Anakin Blue, once you get Anakin off the board, it gets a lot easier.
Oh, that game is a wrap.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Like
once
you get Anakin off the board, the game—it's not over, but it's a lot easier. So if I have things to deal with Anakin and have those big swings, and again, some of that is main deck, some of that is now sideboard. But if I have those options in there, now I have some play against a matchup that was 50-50, and now it might be a 60-40 because I have some tech to be able to deal with that.
Yeah. So, Corey, when you're building, when you're with the decks you've been playing now, what do you typically have a lot of trouble with?
Well, I'm playing my Palp Yellow, and it's aggro.
Aggro. So, what has been your answers in terms of sideboarding?
I'm still figuring that out. Like,
really?
Healing, I think, is going to be important. Ran into that problem with playing against Rob here the other night. Against Asajj even. I think if I just had one more, a little bit of heal, I think I could have survived. Because against Ventress, she did 17 damage in 2 turns to me.
She did? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so like you play Cunning, pump her for 4, and then you have that base that gives her +1. She gets +1 for the event. So she's getting a 9 in on that. And then you do Surprise Strike the next turn, and she's getting, you know, 8 on that. And it's like...
it's crazy. Yeah.
So in 2 turns, you're like halfway dead already.
As soon as I see Asajj, I take her out. Mm. Like, that's no cap.
No, absolutely.
So, okay. So healing, but what's...
Because like currently, the only healing I have right now comes in at 8, which is the Walker, like reinforced Walker,
too far.
And so it's too late. Exactly.
Yeah.
So like Ulauren could be
Colonel Ulauren. Yeah,
he's probably the most obvious one because I have scanning officers in there for the Han matchups.
Hotshot.
DJ. Come on.
Yeah, the tech DJ, everything. Oh my gosh. Yep. That was such a painful match in that sense because you wiped everything.
Yeah.
It was funny. Anyway,
I think against, I would sideboard in like the Ulauren instead of having a scanning officer against aggro because you want to have a healing and then any green card that comes out heals you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Might put Crumb in there just to get that ping and then extra that heal to come off if I pick him up. So something like that.
You get two because you'll play him. You get one if you have your Ulauren out, and then you'll get one back when you pick him back up, and then you can play him again because he only costs one.
So that's a nifty little combo.
Yeah, love the trickle, man. Like that's the thing. Like particularly in a control matchup, sometimes like that 2 or 3 health is all you need to get to that stabilization turn.
Yeah,
and then once you get there, a lot of times your opponents, because your late game is so strong, like. Your opponents don't have answers, and as long as you have health, you're still in the game. Like
exactly.
that's the thing. So you know you may survive with 3 health, but if that's all it took, then that 3 health was worth it, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I guess we're kind of coming up on time. Don't want to keep you guys too much, especially we've got to get prepared for Constructed tonight. Final thoughts. So if you were going to give advice to a new player. We'll start with you, Corey. Don't go to Rob, I guess myself. Mostly because I don't have anything to do right now. If you were going to give advice to a new player or you know a casual tryhard, I think that's the term we're going to start using in the future. What would you tell them for sideboarding, like advice for sideboarding?
Well, I think it's important to know what you want to do as far as your main deck. Mm-hmm. Do you want to be aggro? Do you want to be mid range? Do you want to be control? Mm-hmm. If you, and I would say aggro is the easiest as a new player. Just play aggro because you don't have to think too much. Just hit face. That's usually what you're going to do. And then for your sideboard, think about the things like, why am I losing? Like, every time I'm playing it, I should be winning. Why am I losing? Where? What's happening here that's causing me to lose? Is it because they're getting to go faster than me? Is it because they're killing my specific unit too, like every time I play them out? And then how can you counter those specific things with cards that are out there for you that you're not playing with? So I would say for a new player, start with aggro and then play as much as you can, see why you're losing, or figure out, like, talk to your opponent and say, like, what are you doing that's beating me?
Yeah, assuming they're not a jerk.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, keeping
track. Hopefully. I mean,
I think that, that's fair. I think that's
something. And then, just try to figure out what parts, where you're, lacking.
Yeah. Okay, cool. How about you, Rob?
Well, so I can answer the question that Corey has is what am I doing wrong? And the answer is I'm bad at the game. No, but in all seriousness, I think the advice that I would give is try to understand what your bad matchups are, like, and that takes a little bit of learning. But once you've played some games, you'll know. Okay, as Corey was saying, it's like I'm an aggro deck, and I played into mid range, and I just got my butt kicked. And like so every time I play, it would have been like every time I played Boba, in the last set, I got my butt kicked when I played aggro. So so all right, so mid range is a problem for me. I know mid range is a problem, and how can I potentially solve for that? And try to find your answers not just through your sideboard, but your sideboard can be part of the kit of the toolkit that you have to find some of those answers.
Yeah.
It's like, Boba's armor every time. Maybe I should put a confiscate in there.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. I mean, that's completely fair. I think for me, definitely agree with both your guys' sentiments in terms of, how you think through your matchups and everything like that and, what you want to do. For me, I guess what I would say is that if you are a new player and you made this deck, let's say you net deck it or you even created something new, as you're playing the game, you're probably going to notice certain habits. Like, I always resource this card, like 90% of the time. Get rid of that card. And then, put it in your sideboard for the eventuality where you think you might need it, right? And then the second piece of that is that only add two or three cards to your sideboard at a time, and let's test it out first. Like, I think a lot of times, and this was a problem for me, is I would just add like 10 cards and be like, this is gonna be great, like theoretical,
right?
Versus like, you just need to get the games in, right? Play like 5 games or 15, however many you need, right? With like 3 different like sideboard cards, test them, and then that's gonna be it. I think that's how I would approach it, I think. And it's a little bit more incremental in nature. That's it for me.
Just piggybacking off of that, the only time to add in a single card in your sideboard, I find now, your mileage may vary, but is if you are basically taking something that's in your deck from 2 to 3.
Oh yes, that's an
okay time to add a single in, because it's increasing your likelihood to draw that card. And if you're concerned about a matchup where it's like, I need to draw this thing and I only have 2 of them, then having that one in the sideboard can be valuable.
True. Mm-hmm. No,
but that's kind of the only time I will do that typically.
No, that's a fair last sentiment. Okay, so thank you guys for joining me today. Thank you, Mythikos, for letting us do this in I guess the open space. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. And everyone, I didn't even turn off the TV. I didn't think they were going to do that. It's kind of cool. So anyway, appreciate it. All you listeners out there. Until next time, may the force be with you.